In today's gospel, God invites all people to the heavenly banquet to which we must come clothed in righteousness. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent the other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Nobody dresses up anymore. When's the last time you can say you really dressed up? Maybe for a wedding, maybe for a funeral, maybe. We had a funeral not long ago where two or three people came in their shorts and flip-flops. We've become a society where, you know, where we're very informal. I can remember when I was growing up now, I know that's a long time ago, but every kid that I knew had one good pair of dress shoes. You kept them in your closet. You wore them only on Sunday or maybe for other special occasions. But again, in my day, you dressed up. The way you dressed showed the importance of what you were doing. You dressed up for really important things. Today, I suspect that many of our young people don't have a pair of what we would call dress shoes. They have very expensive sneakers. They don't call them sneakers anymore, right? Sports shoes or something like that. But not what we would call dress shoes. Very informal society, for good or for ill. However, today in the story that Jesus tells, he makes something very clear to us. We have to be properly dressed to get into heaven. Have to be properly dressed to get into heaven. Now, heaven, of course, is a mystery to us. We can't begin to imagine what it is. Remember, St. Paul in one of his letters says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the mind cannot imagine the wonderful things God has prepared for those who love him." We can only imagine. So when we talk about heaven, we have to use comparisons. And in the scripture, the most frequently used comparison for heaven was the idea of a banquet, a party. We see that in the first reading today from the prophet Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament. What's he say? On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will establish for all people this great, marvelous feast. Choice, juicy meats, choice wines, death destroyed forever. And then in the gospel, Jesus uses that same image about the king holding a feast, a wedding feast. So the issue, though, is how do you get in? It's clear that everybody's invited. Everybody's invited. Poor, rich, no matter what race, what nationality, what color your skin, whether you're famous or not so famous, everybody's invited. But there are two things that are necessary, it seems. You have to accept the invitation first, and then you have to come dressed the right way. You have to be dressed the right way to get in to heaven. What's that mean? You know, this morning in the parable, we might be a little bit disturbed to think when the king finally goes out and invites everybody in, pulls them in off the highways and byways, so to speak, this one man's in there without a wedding garment on, and the king's very upset and throws him out. We might think to ourselves, you know, that's not fair. This guy's dragged in from the road. How can you expect him to have a wedding garment on? Until you understand that the custom in those days was, usually, the wedding garment was handed out at the door. When you arrived at the banquet or the wedding feast, whatever it was, the one throwing it would give you the garment, the festal garment to put on to go in. So, if you didn't have a wedding garment on, in this case, when you went in, this was a direct insult to the king. It's like you're going in and the king's saying to you, here's a wedding garment. You say, nah, not for me. No thanks. No wonder the king's upset. He's giving you the wedding garment. You refuse it. The point is this. You and I have received what we need to wear to get into heaven. It's been given to us on the day of our baptism. When you were immersed in that font back there or some other comparable font, you were given what you needed for heaven. You were given the life of Christ. Christ gave you a share in his own life. You know, St. Paul in one of his letters says, about talking about baptism, he says, you must put on Christ. Baptism is like putting on Christ. In fact, you know, we symbolize that in our baptism ceremonies, don't we? By giving the children or the adults, as the case may be, a white garment. They put on a white garment, symbolic of the fact that they've received the life of Christ. That's given to us. We were given the garment at baptism, Christ himself, his life. We have to put it on day by day by day. And if we do that, when we get to the door of the wedding feast, heaven, we'll go in, no problem. We'll be wearing what we need to wear. You know, sometimes there's somebody who really strikes a chord in us about the way they do this, the way they're wearing the wedding garment of Christ, how they've put on Christ. And recently, I read a little article, reminded me of someone that whose name you might or might not recognize, the name Dorothy Day. Dorothy Day has actually a cause now for sainthood. They're investigating, the church is investigating whether she should be named a saint. But back in the 1940s and 50s and early 60s, she was a very controversial figure. Dorothy Day lived as a young woman a rather bohemian lifestyle. Lived with a man without being married, bore a child outside of wedlock. Never married this man, ultimately separated from him. But ultimately, somewhere along the line, she was converted to Christ. Became a very devout, believing Catholic. And she opened up in New York City, starting in New York, but then other places as well, what were called friendship houses. There really were houses for street people. She and her staff at this house would welcome in street people, feed them, give them a place to rest, place to wash, so forth. But she was controversial because, first of all, she was a pacifist, criticized the government, often all, she had the paper, she ran a paper, the Catholic Worker, criticized the government all the time about arms and war and all that. She was kind of socialistic in her politics, very controversial, but a very firm believing Catholic, doing all this work for the street people. She wrote an autobiography. And some years ago now, a movie was made out of it entitled A Rumor of Angels. I invite you to go online and see if you can get that in one of the movie channels. A Rumor of Angels. It's her autobiography filmed. Very, very powerful. But in the movie, there's a scene that always has struck me in a very, very strong way. In this particular scene, she's having trouble in her friendship house. She's having conflicts with the other staff members. They're all at each other's throats. She's at their throat. They're at her throat. Things aren't going well. So one night she just loses it. She blows up. She runs out of the house, out into the streets of New York. She's wandering around the streets of New York at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. She comes to this church that happens to be open. She walks into the church, Catholic church, and she looks, and there's the crucifix all lit up. She walks down the aisle, purposefully strides down that aisle, right to the foot of the altar, right in front of the cross like this. She looks up at the cross, and she says, "Jesus, the people you want me to take care of in your name, they smell. The people you want me to take care of for you, they stink." She turns around, walks back out of the church, back to Friendship House, where she continues her work. Continues to put on Christ. Put on Christ. See, to me, that's not much different from the father and husband who goes to work every day, maybe to a job he doesn't care for that much, but he goes and does it every day because he's got to support his family. He's putting on Christ. Not that much different from a mother who needs a new winter coat. Her coat, the zipper doesn't work very well and it's kind of frayed, but at the same time, three little children need new winter boots, and there's not enough money for everything. So the children get the boots. She's putting on Christ. Or the person who's moved by something they see, some need they see, they take out their checkbook and they write a check for some cause. They're putting on Christ. That's what you and I have to do every day. That Christ who was given to us in baptism, his life, we put it on. We put it on every day. And if that's what we're wearing, when we get to heaven, we'll be welcome. We'll be wearing the right thing. We'll be clothed the right way with Christ himself. Let me conclude with a little story which maybe illustrates the same point. This young monk had been in a monastery like for 2 or 3 years and still kind of getting used to his vocation. And one day he went to one of the older monks who'd been in the monastery for like 30 years. The young monk said, "Father," he said, "you know, I'm very excited. I'm very excited because I just finished reading the Bible all the way through for the 5th time. I've been through the Bible 5 times. The old monk said, "Well, that's nice, but let me tell you this. What's more important is this. Not so how many times you've been through the Bible, but how many times the Bible has been through you. How many times has the Bible been through you?" In other words, have you put on Christ? Have you put on Christ? That's the clothes we need to get into heaven. Given to us freely, we have to put it on every day. You know, there's a phrase that we hear used all the time. We use it ourselves. We probably use it ourselves. Let's party. Let's party. Let's party. Well, God uses that phrase too. He's not afraid to use that phrase. Let's party. Let's party forever in heaven. Let's party. But remember, you can only come in if you're wearing the right garment, Christ himself. May God bless you.